Wednesday, we started a series on God's great book, and we talked about just how great the Word of God is. And we started off by explaining why the Bible is unique, why it should be considered great. And the very first point that we want to go more in depth is the Bible is inspired of God. He is the author. God has inspired His own Word. You see, books generally are considered noteworthy by when you know who their author is. Well, there's not a greater author of any book, anywhere, anytime, than God's great book. And what amazes me is the way that God used men from all walks of life over different periods of time, and He gave them His mind, His will, caused them to write exactly what He wanted them to write, and is able to put it all together in 66 books that are a harmonious whole. The Old Testament speaks of what's going to happen in the New, and the New explains much of the Old, whether it be prophecy and promises. And how amazing is it that all the way through you see the glory of Christ and His salvation as being prepared and announced in the Old Testament and finally brought about in the New. So there's not another book like it. And tonight we're going to look at how we know that this book is greater than any human author. Human authors often reveal things that characterize their lives in their literary works. Their likes, their dislikes, their personalities and attributes are often revealed in the pages that they pen. Well, you know, the same can be said about the great book that God has offered. When you read the Bible, there are things you are going to learn about God that can't be said of anyone else. The Scriptures are a reflection of the nature and the attributes of God. God is eternal. Let that sink in just for a moment. He has no birthday. He has no beginning. God is. And when He expressed Himself to Moses at the burning bush, it simply, I am. I am self-existent, eternal, no beginning, no ending, infinite. God existed before there was ever time was ever measured, before there was any matter in the universe, before there was space. There was God alone, perfectly happy, harmonious. God is eternal. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge." It makes perfectly good sense that the Word that God authored would also be of eternal duration. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven." How glorious is that? No human author can claim that their book is eternally preserved. But God can. His Word is eternally settled in heaven. Human literary efforts may come and go, but God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Which tells me that it's going to play some role in our instruction, our edification, throughout the eternal ages. I think we're going to continue to profit from God's eternal Word. Doesn't it bring rejoicing in your heart when some truth of the Word of God is brought home to you, where a promise is made real? Do you think that's going to cease when we enter into the glorified state? No, we're going to be worshiping, rejoicing, and we're going to be doing it around the living Word, and I believe there's going to be a place for the written Word. Because of it's eternally settled in heaven. Again, God has authored a unique book that will last throughout the eternal ages. God is all powerful. He has the power to execute all of the purposes which He framed before the world was, and do it without fail. Psalm 62:11 says that power belongeth unto God. We may safely assume that if God is omnipotent and all-powerful, then the great book that He wrote would be powerful as well. This may be anecdotal by way of personal experience, but I can't explain to you how dramatic my life changed when God opened up His Word to me. How ungodly and wicked and sinful I was. And then God drew me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and revealed to me the power of the gospel message and what it meant. He didn't just give me that intellectually. He brought it home to my heart and gave me the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That kind of power is transformative. I have seen it change some of the worst of sinners. God's Word working. And I pray that it's still changing me, that the power of God's Word is still working in me. I don't ever want to feel like I've arrived. I want the power of God's Word to be effective in my life each and every day. There's not another book that has ever transformed lives like the Word of the living God, and is continuing to do that. I remember when I was first saved, I often would worry, what if I don't preach this? When I was first saved, I started preaching. And I'd worry about, what if I say something, or maybe the message at that moment is not the one that I should have preached? And I finally came to the conclusion, if I'm just speaking the truth of the Word of God, expounding the Word of the living God, He'll use it. His Word won't return unto Him void. It'll always accomplish whereunto He sent it. The Word of God is going to either be used in the conversion of sinners, or it will be used in their judgment and in their condemnation. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. The best of human literature combined. Does not even compare to the power and influence that God's Word has had on multitudes of people through the ages. I mean, think about how powerful God's Word is. It has the power to transform individuals, to transform families, to empower churches. That's what God's Word does. And you've got it in your lap. You've got it in your home. God is absolutely holy. There are no spots or blemishes in the person or character of God. He is absolutely pure and undefiled by sin. I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anybody in my lifetime. I don't know anybody in human history other than the Lord Jesus Christ who is holy in the absolute sense of the word. Without any blemish, without any defiling motivations. God is absolutely pure. 1 John 1:5 said, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." Again, human authors often express their attributes through their writings. So we can see that God will also reflect His holiness in His writing. Since God is holy and pure, His Word bears those characteristics as well. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure." We call them the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Bible. What human author can make such a claim about the book that he has written? That it is pure. And that it has the power to make other people pure. Yet God can, because He is essentially holy and righteous. And since God is light, then we can be assured that the book that He has authored is likewise full of light. Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you want to know the way of holiness, the way of sanctification, the way of consecration, to be set apart for the use of God, it's in His Word. In His holy Word. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." It's absolute truth. With no admixture of error. Therefore, it can set you apart, sanctify you, consecrate you, as God uses it to work in you. We must never underestimate the holiness of the Word of God. And we ought to come to it with reverence. Our God is a God of truth and righteousness. There are no flaws in His holy character. His very essence is truth. Jesus, who is the Word of God, He is identified in John chapter 1. "The Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word of God. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No man cometh to the Father but by me. God's great book is the only book in all the world that reveals the absolute truth about God, about the condition of man, about the only remedy for sin. This is the only bastion of truth and righteousness that is unsullied and undefiled. The writings of men are filled with fallacy, fancy, flattery, and fiction. Only God's great book can rightly be called the Word of Truth. So God's Word reflects His attributes: eternal, truthful, holy, righteous. That should be a book that interests us. A book that captivates our attention and moves us to want to know more about the author. How glorious and wonderful He is. And how amazing it is He's put it all together, put it in one book that we can read, and given it to us and preserved it. And He even raised up men who were gifted linguists to be able to translate the original Greek and Hebrew into our language. God's orchestrated all of that. God is a God of great grace and mercy and compassion. And He has extended His favor to multitudes of unworthy sinners by cleansing them in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 145 and verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." God's great book is the only one in all the world that reveals God's method of grace and full salvation. Jesus Christ. No other book does that. The writings of men are often laced with the heresies of Arminianism, free willism, all forms of work salvation, where God's great book alone can rightly be called the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Acts 20, verse 32. God's great book reveals His grace like no other book. The author of the greatest book on earth and in heaven is filled with majesty and glory. Greatness. Psalm 145 verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." It is sad to think that multitudes of men and women pay more attention to fallible human authors who do not even begin to approach the greatness of God. You think about learned people in our culture today who sit atop professorships at Ivy League universities. And you know what they do? They don't study the Word of God. They study the writings of men. They promote the writings of men. All the while. In fact, they give far more reverence to the writings of Charles Darwin
and Karl Marx and Hegel and other philosophers, then the Word of the Living God, the eternal book that transforms lives, doesn't dirty them, doesn't pollute the lives of men and women, but changes them the world over.
The majority of mankind neglects the greatest book ever written to their own peril. They'll make time for work, for pleasure, for material profit, but not for the most important book in all the world that reveals the glory and the greatness of God and His salvation. God's great book declares that those who despise and reject its blessed precepts and warnings will be judged. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. That's a promise of God. You despise His holy book that is eternally settled in heaven forever, that expresses His grace, His truth, His righteousness, His greatness, His glory, what's right, what's true. You despise that, you will be judged. And God will use His Word to judge you. I pray that this little series will cause us to see just how magnificent the book you hold in your hand is, that you bring to every Wednesday and every Sunday. And I hope that you're reading throughout the week and applying, because there's no other book like it. May we value and treasure it. We'll get to some more of this next week.